Bible says, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight, and then we'll jump right into it. Our Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word and for your truth. Lord, I yield myself to you once again. Father, would you take me as your vessel, empty me of sin and self and pride. Forgive me for where I've failed you. And God, would you just please, Lord, forgive me, Lord, for trying to please man. God, would you help us to only desire to please you. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, Father, would you save him? And God, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? And Lord, I sure do love you. Thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. He says here in verse number 24 there, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." He goes on to say in verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. How many of you all know that Jesus had to die so that you could live? If you're here this evening and you'd say, "Brother Jake, I know without a shadow of a doubt, not because of good works that I've done, not because I've been baptized or because of anything that I've done, but because the shed blood of Calvary, of Jesus Christ, because of what Christ did for me on the cross, I put my faith and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a day when I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved." Could you tell me by the lifting of your hand, "Brother Jake, I know that I'm saved without a shadow of a doubt. I know that I'm saved." Listen, ain't that a wonderful thing to know that you've been born again? But let me stop right there and tell you this, though. You could not be born again, you could not be saved if someone else did not die. You would have no home in heaven if somebody did not pay the payment. None of us were good enough. None of us could put together enough money. None of us could put together enough good works. As a matter of fact, your very best works, our very best deed on our very best day, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so Jesus Christ had to come and die. We call it the gospel, right? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, "Brother Jake, well, what proof is there that Jesus was really, well, we could all agree that he died. But what proof is there that Jesus rose from the dead?" Do you realize that there were over 500 people that saw him at one time? There is more evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the grave than that Columbus sailed the seven seas. Is there anyone here that would disagree, or that you would refute the fact that Columbus sailed the seas? No, you wouldn't refute that. But listen, but there is more evidence, there's more historical evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But we don't need any of that anyways, because we believe by faith that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and he rose again. And if he doesn't die, we don't live. If he doesn't become poor, we don't become rich. If he doesn't get lifted up on the cross of Calvary, we're not drawn unto him. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Tonight I want to preach a message on this: what an unbroken child will not do. Now, there are certain things about being broken. And when I say being broken, how many of y'all know what it means to be broken? Do y'all know what it means to be broken? It could mean a few different things. Here, let me pull this up here. And I love technology. Isn't it wonderful? This is why I don't use it. And I guess I'm not using it. And praise the Lord. So, being broken, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was broken for you and for me. But you know, to be broken, I can remember when I was a kid. Me and my brother, we got in trouble one time, and man, we got in big trouble. How many of y'all have ever gotten in trouble at home? You ever gotten in trouble at home? Boy, me and my brother, it seemed like every other day, me and my sister, she was every second of every day, but we were every day at least. And no, she never got in trouble. She was a perfect angel. And she was daddy's girl. That's okay, though. I harbor no bitterness. And that's my older sister, by the way, if you're wondering who I'm talking about. Crystal, raise your hand. Miss Crystal, pastor's wife, there we go. And she hates attention, by the way. And me and my brother, I remember one time in particular, me and my brother, we were broken by our father. And how many of y'all like being broken? No, I don't like being broken. The Bible says that if you be without chastisement, that you're bastards and not sons, right? Whereof all are partakers. That if you're a child of God's, that you're going to be chastised. You are going to be corrected. You know, and there's a difference in correcting children and that child's will, right, being broken. The Lord Jesus Christ, His will didn't have to be broken. He yielded to the will of the Father. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, right? But he wasn't trying to get out of what He came to do. Jesus knew why He came. And me and my brother, when we were younger, I guess I was in sixth grade, and my brother, he was in third grade, and we had a friend over. How many of y'all have ever had a friend over? We had this friend over, and it was the first time that I'd ever had him over, and boy, he got us in trouble. Me and my brother, we listened to him. He said, "Why don't we go and prank your sister?" And I said, "Man, that sounds pretty fun. Let's, you know, what are we going to do?" And he gave us all these bright ideas. Let's go and let's take the mustard bottle and let's pour it on her while she's sleeping. And let's get the ketchup bottle and pour it on her while she's sleeping. Listen, my father had just bought her brand new silk sheets and brand new blankets. And it was a brand new house with brand new carpet. I mean, it makes me want to whoop my own hind end right now. And we thought we were having a grand old time, and we put that stuff all over her. And I to this day don't know if she was sleeping or just letting us do it. I don't know. But man, we had us a good old time, and we turned her into a hamburger. And we had everything that you'd put on a hamburger, all the condiments, pickles, and everything was all over her. And man, the room stunk to high heaven. The blankets were ruined. The sheets were ruined. We didn't think anything of it. We just went on to bed. Went into our room that morning, that next morning. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning. The sun had already come up. I can still remember it was this big of a deal in our home. And it was this influential in my life. I still remember the color of pants that I was wearing. I was wearing these white windbreaker pants. And boy, I'll tell you what, for those of you, listen, when I was a kid, we used to get whooped. You know what whooped is? Look, it's the next thing to the electric chair, right? I mean, it's terrible. We didn't get beat or abused. We got corrected. Anyways, that morning, me and my brother, boy, we got corrected. The Bible says that if you be without chastisement, that you're bastards and not sons. If you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, if you're saved without a shadow of a doubt, the Bible says whereof all are partakers. You're going to be a partaker of chastisement because God is a perfect Father. You're not going to do wrong and get away with it. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will bring all things to our remembrance. What shall we say then? Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And but the Spirit of God's going to guide us into all truth. What is truth? Thy word, O Lord, is truth. And God is going to correct you. But listen, it's amazing to me, and this is where I wanted to get to. It's amazing to me how that when me and my brother, our will was broken. It's amazing how every single time, you know, and Dad, he didn't have to get all of us in the house. He just had to get one of us. And when one of our wills were broken, when one of us got whooped, right? When one of us got that correction, you know what happened? It was an amazing thing. When one of us got it, it's amazing how the whole spirit of our home changed. I mean, you could sing, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit." I mean, Caleb, he just got tore up from the floor up. All of us are off doing the things we were supposed to be doing. We were doing dishes. You know, I mean, making our blankets, making our beds and doing all the things we were supposed to be doing the whole time before. But there was just such a sweet spirit in the place. Listen, when just one child, when their will was broken. You know, the same thing happens in a church when a church member gets maybe corrected or they go through a difficult time. It's amazing to see. I've seen it in youth groups. I've watched how the breaking of our will comes to churches and youth groups and families, and you know, we could call it hard times. That's not why bad things happen. Listen, the question is not why do bad things happen to good people. The question is why does anything good happen to any of us, anyways? But listen, this idea that nothing bad's ever going to happen, or that we're never going to be broken. Listen, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Right? It's good for nothing. Except Jesus dies, you don't live. Except a son, listen, gets chastised, listen, there's no breaking of that will. There's no breaking of that son. You say, well, you're going to warp his creativity. Listen, do you realize, and some of you folks that have been around a little while, there was a man by the name of Dr. Spock. And Dr. Spock had this brilliant idea that and he wrote a book. And a lot of people I don't know if it was before my, he was a long time ago, but he wrote this book about how that parents, they were going to warp their children's creativity, that they were going to mess their children up if they corrected them and if they got on to them. And so Dr. Spock, he wrote this book and got on to them and everything else under this, and a lot of people bought into it. Dr. Spock, before he died, you know what he said? He said, oops, we've raised a generation of brats. Children with no direction, children with no, that had no correction, and now those children are the adults running our country. And, you know, it's just a mess because there was a generation of young people whose wills were not broken by the Father. And I understand, I'm not talking about every situation because every situation is different. And if anyone's being abused, that's wrong. You shouldn't. Yeah, I understand all that. And what I'm talking about is the loving correction of a father, the loving correction of a mother. But the Lord God of heaven is the best father. He's a perfect father. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as a matter of fact, the Bible says you spare the rod, you spoil the child, right? And that be without chastisement is a bastard. God says, you're illegitimate. We were very legitimate children of our Father. And praise the Lord for that. If you would turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. You say, and we'll get to the message here in just a second. But I really just want you to understand that, listen, in order for something to grow, something has to die. In order for us to be saved, Jesus had to die. But not only that, in order for a child to obey, that child has to do one of two things. Either he has to be broken or he has to yield. Do you realize, how many of you all would say, Brother Jake, I want to see revival in the churches, in the church? I mean, I think everybody would say, man, I want to see revival. Do you realize the Bible says that he comes to revive the humble and contrite spirit? That's the only kind of church, that's the only kind of people that he's going to revive. Do you realize in order to be humble, you got to do one of two things. You either got to be humbled or humble yourself. One of two things has to happen. Either you have to be humbled by the Father, or you are going to yield and humble yourself as the Lord Jesus Christ did with the Father. Romans 8 in verse number 28 there, very famous passage of Scripture. If you would look there with me. Let's go ahead and let's jump up to verse 26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Notice there, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Listen, we could look at man after man, lady after lady in Scripture, and we could see how that they were broken, right? Sometimes it's financial troubles that break us. Sometimes it's sickness that breaks us. Sometimes for a child, maybe it's correction that breaks us. You know, I've always wondered, why does it have to be something difficult to get us to look to God? Well, you know, there's nothing throughout history, as you look at church history and Baptist history, that there's nothing that drives the church closer to Christ than persecution. There's nothing that gets us to fulfill and to do the will of God more than persecution. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's always the hand of God or the hand of the Father chastising his church, but I will say, boy, I don't know if it is, but I'll say this. It sure does draw the people closer to God when things are difficult. You know, it doesn't say that all things work together for our idea of what better is. It says that all things work together for good. You know, we can look at that old patriarch Abraham. Was it better that he had to leave home? No, but God worked all things together for good. Joseph of the Old Testament, you remember who he was? Somebody tell me something about Joseph of the Old Testament. What did he have that all his brothers didn't have? What was he given? A coat of many colors, right? I mean, Joseph of the Old Testament, he was given that coat of many colors. Joseph, can you imagine this? Do you think this was better in Joseph's mind? It'd be better if I was thrown into a pit by my own brothers. It'd be better if my own brothers were planning on killing me. I don't think Joseph thought that at all. I don't think that he thought in his mind at that time, boy, this is good. Boy, I wonder what's next as the brothers are picking up rocks, getting ready to bury their brother under a pile of rocks. Was that better? Was that good in his mind? I don't think at that time, in real time, I mean, your brothers are supposed to be the people who stand with you when no one else will. And his brothers were holding, getting ready to bury their brother alive or to kill him. And one of the brothers got smart and he said, at least let's make some money off the Joker, right? And then they sell their own brother into slavery. Boy, that must have been good. That's better. Your own flesh and blood. How many of you got brothers and sisters? How many of you got brothers and sisters? How many of you ever wanted to sell your brothers and sisters into slavery? Joseph's did. I know that we joke about that and we laugh about that, but think about that for a second. You throw your own brother into slavery and he's gone for years, and they take an animal and they kill it and they bring it back to their dad and they lie and they say that this animal killed Joseph. And so for years, the dad's there believing this lie, and for years, was it better that Joseph to be thrown into a pit by his brothers? Was it better for Joseph to be a prisoner living in that horrific condition with the rats for doing the right thing? He ran and did the right thing. How many of you have ever done the right thing and gotten in trouble for it? Would you say, Brother Jake, that's me? I got my hand up. I've done the right thing, and I got in trouble for it. Because the authorities didn't know the real story. I did the right thing. I ran from Potiphar's wife. I did what I was supposed to do, but I still got in trouble. Boy, that was good. That was better. Was it better? I don't think in Joseph's vein of thinking, probably not. At that time, was it better? No, but God worked all things together for good. The Romans 8:28 of your Old Testament, Genesis 50:20, Joseph said this at the end of all of it. He's standing before all of his brothers, brings all of his brothers in. He says this. Listen to what he says. Could you imagine years later, those same brothers that threw him in the pit, those same brothers that sold him into slavery, listen to what he says to them. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph, if you don't get thrown into a pit, Joseph, if you don't get sold into slavery, Joseph, if you don't do the right thing and run from Potiphar's wife, but she's going to lie on you and they're going to throw your tail into prison. Joseph went to prison for doing the right thing. Joseph, if you don't go through all that, the world's going to starve to death. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. That, you know, let's just continue on. Was it better for David to have to run and hide in caves like an animal running from Saul? No, I don't think in his mind. But God was working all things together for good. Do you realize that some of the greatest psalms were penned? The sweet psalmist of Israel, he didn't write a lot of that stuff in a palace. He wrote a lot of it in persecution. He wrote a lot of it as he was being hunted like an animal. I mean, you think about John. John, is it better that John, was it better that, according to history, that he was boiled alive? He was boiled alive in a vast oil and he didn't die, so they banned him to the isle that is called Patmos. They banned him to a prison island where he was going to go and die. There was no family, there was no friends. But John, is it better? No. But God worked all things together for good. John doesn't get to the place where he sees, as we read Revelation and how you know unbelievable that it is. And how many of you have ever read Revelation, or you read portions of it, you've heard your pastor preach from it? I mean, there's some pretty amazing stuff in there. John was the one that was in that vision on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he saw those things. He doesn't get to that place. He doesn't write that scripture if John doesn't go through the things he went through. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10. Go ahead and turn there with me if you would. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Turn there. We're almost done, young people. You're doing good. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." While I'm grieving, while I'm hurting, while I'm suffering for doing what is right. How many of you have ever been made fun of for doing right? I can remember growing up and going to public school, and I can't tell you how many times I would do the right thing, and the boys at the school would say, why are you doing that? Why don't you go to the dances? And why don't you have a girlfriend? And why don't you do this, that, and the other? And why don't you smoke this and smoke that? And why don't you go to the parties? Why don't you cuss like we cuss and say the things that we say and do the things that we do? Because I'm a Christian. Because I'm to be being conformed to the image of his dear son. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Daniel in Babylon, he was led captive with those children, but he led kings to the Lord. Joseph helped spare the world of starvation. David, for 7 years, hid in caves, at the same time penned some of the greatest psalms. Was it best for Daniel? Was it best for Joseph? Was it best for David? I don't think in their mind they would have chosen that, but listen, through their suffering, God brought great success. And except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, right? And so was it better? I don't think in their vein of thinking. I don't think in their mind. But what you thought evil, right? God meant it unto good. Again, aren't you thankful that Jesus died so that you could live? He became poor that you might be made rich. Can I ask you a question? With every head bowed and every eye closed, just really quick. Brother Jake, you boys first, just out of you boys, you men here in the church, you boys, every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I just want you to be honest with the Lord. Brother Jake, I believe that God at a time had called me to preach. I believe God wants me to be a preacher. You boys, you men, I believe God wants me to be a preacher. There's some hands right there. There's some hands right there. I believe God wants me to be a preacher. You can put your hands down. How many of you young ladies, you'd say, Brother Jake, I maybe sat in a missions conference and I felt like God wants me to be a missionary. I felt like God wanted me to be a Sunday school teacher. I felt like God, listen, I'm telling you, when I was your age, that's when God started dealing with my heart about being a preacher, about serving God full time. There's a lot of my friends. I'm thinking about one in particular. He's not serving God today. You want to know why? Because when he was your age, he made the decision that the cost would be too great. He made the decision that, you know, if I'm going to serve God, I'm going to have to die to some things. If I'm going to serve God and do it the right way, I'm going to have to give up some of these habits of the flesh. And he said, you know what, I can't do that. You know, I've often wondered. That young man said that he was called to the mission field. I wonder how many lost folks where he was called, where God wanted him to go, where he never got to, because he wasn't willing to die. He wasn't willing to die to his flesh. He wasn't willing to die to those things. I wonder how many lost folks never got saved, never got the message, at least from him, because he was not willing to yield to God. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, abideth alone. I'm reminded of the story of a husband and a wife. The mom, she was worried about the husband. They both felt like God was calling them to the mission field. But the mother, she was just worried about the cost. She was worried about the snakes. And that's what she complained about the whole time was snakes, 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 snakes. We can't go because the snakes are so bad over there. So the husband caved and didn't go. They came back to the U.S., living comfortably. One of her kids was bit by a snake, died on the way to the hospital. The dad accidentally, while he was leaving the house, ran over his other kid. Both of their kids died and went to heaven because they were unwilling. I'm not saying that's the exact reason. I'm just saying it's a coincidence, ain't it? Maybe you're here and you'd say, Brother Jake, there's just something in my heart, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Jake, there's something in my heart between me and God that I've not been willing to yield, and he has not been able to break me yet. Listen, I if there's anyone who can break us, God can break us if he wants to. I just wonder, though, how bad do things have to get before the church can be revived? Because he humbles the humble and contrite spirit, right? And if we're not humbled, or we don't humble ourselves, I wonder what it's going to take. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Jake, as you were preaching, God began to convict me of my need of salvation. And if I was to die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you say, Brother Jake, that's me, by the raising of your hand? I'm not sure. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Would you say, Brother Jake, that's me? Lift your hand. Just let me see it, just real quick. Let me see your hand. Brother Jake, I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to be. Brother Jake, I don't know. All right. How many of you would say, Brother Jake, God spoke to my heart tonight about something, something in particular. Would you say, Brother Jake, that's me, by the raising your hand? God spoke to me about something. God spoke to me about something. All right, as we play the song of invitation, and what song? Okay. God spoke to your heart. You obey the Lord. The altar's open. Don't quench the Spirit of God now. Obey the Lord. Whatever that thing is between you and God, maybe come just give that thing to the Lord. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That we cannot change, we hope for the best and not for the pain. We dial through windy storms and rough raging seas, but Jesus is on the other side. He knows where you'll be. If he placed the stars and he then surely I must know that I should not run when I cannot see what's ahead of me. It's then I will trust. It's then
let's all stand. Let's sing page 558. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, and all to him I freely give. Listen, there's some of you young people. How many of you would say, Brother Jake, I'm 13 years or older? 13 years or older. Do you know that every single one of you 13 years or older, you could be involved in a bus route in your church? You could be involved in the Saturday outreach at your church. It's amazing how we complain that, you know, that there's nothing going on at our church and there's no outreach. Listen, when your pastor and me and my little brother and Miss Crystal and many of these adults in here, when I was your age, that's when we started serving God. I didn't wait until I became a young adult or before I became an old adult. The Bible says, serve the Lord in the days of your youth, while the evil day cometh not. Let's sing this, page 558. Listen, you ought to give Jesus everything. Ready, sing. All to Jesus. Sing. I surrender all to Him I freely, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Lily, I